now time for a very dice roll edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service. Tell you which games to pass to a friend and which games to just, you know, roll that box cars and roll doubles. What do you do in Monopoly? Free parking? Get the free parking? I don't know. I'm Corey. I'm joined by the man who somehow rolled Snake Eyes with one dice, Basher.
That's a Cyclops. And also, Monopoly is the best board game of all time. I stand by that.
But do you play it right, though?
I only play it right. Anyone who plays it wrong is an absolute animal and a buffoon.
But it's like you're supposed to do like the auctions. You do all that.
Sure do.
You
auction, I do all the auctions. All of it. All of it.
That's
it
makes, wild.
Like, no, it's not wild because you people play it wrong. That's why people hate it. That's why it takes an hour and a half to finish a game of Monopoly. If you play it correctly with all the amount of players, it's a 45-minute game. You people are dumb losers, and I hate you for ruining Monopoly.
Wow. That escalated quickly. I was going to say, like, I would even do like the hybrid rules of like, if you don't want the property, it has to be auctioned. But that's kind of where I leave it. Like all the rest of that stuff. Like
no, you don't make things up. That's how you prolong the game and make it worse.
No, that's what we do with Uno as well.
Okay, Uno's a whole. Like, let's not even get to that because I have thoughts on Uno, and it goes all the way to the top and what the official rules are, and those are wrong.
That's one where I think they adopted the rules that everyone came up with. It's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the song. Nobody actually sings it correctly, but somehow through time, all the made-up stuff, we've just added it, and it's like, oh, this is no, it's not. It no. Nobody said like a light bulb when Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was created, the song. I guarantee it. I was there. Lost in Random, The Eternal Die does not have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in it. It does have a dice, though, or a die. Die.
No, they have dice.
That's what we're here to talk about.
This multiple die.
Is there?
This playable die, but there's this NPC dice.
That's true. There's the little dice slings. I forgot all about that. But before that, 574-651-9256. That's the phone number that you can call. You can text. What else can you do with the phone number? You could put it on the wall.
What's the third thing you can do?
You could go to a concert and you could like carve it into like a stall.
Oh, I'm about to do that actually next time.
You should just say put call for a good time and just let's see what
I'm
happens.
I'm definitely going to do that actually. That's a great idea.
And then we'll go from there. I just lost the spot. There's Lost in Random, The Eternal Die. Here are the details. Take on an ancient evil in Lost in Random, The Eternal Die, a fast-paced action roguelite set in the whimsical world of Random. Play as Queen Alexandra and her die companion Fortune as you battle twisted foes, wield powerful relics and abilities, and roll the dice to escape the nightmarish realm. Lost in Random blends the dynamic, real-time action, tactical combat, and risk-reward dice mechanics for thrilling second-to-second battles. Unravel an original standalone story as Queen Alexandra, the once great ruler of Random, on a mission for vengeance and redemption. I am not reading all this. It is very, very long. So, even death isn't final. Return to the sanctuary to unlock new weapons, buy powerful upgrades, and take on quests from your allies to prepare for your next run. This says how long to beat of 5 hours with the main and extra of 8. Completionist of 15 is available on Xbox Series X and S as well as PC. I've actually played every single version, so I can speak to that a little bit. Xbox Play Anywhere, so all your clouds will transfer. Cloud saves will transfer. And there was something else I forgot. Nope, don't remember what it was. Lost in Random, The Eternal Die. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about this Eternal Die. Apparently this is a sequel of sorts, right?
I would say spin-off-ish. I don't know enough about the original game to say, but I do know that the first game was not a roguelike, you know, isometric game. It was a over-the-shoulder, like, third-person adventure. I had heard about the first game, never played it, though.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Look, once you explained it to me, that's when I realized, oh, I have heard of this game before, and it is a sequel of sorts. And that's not what made me interested in it. What made me interested in it was the screenshot showing that it was a very tiny little lady thing with a dial on her back. And it was isometric. And it looked like, oh, is this Hades again? I will try anything that looks even remotely like Hades. And that's what got me into it.
Yeah, I mean, we've established that anything that is a roguelite in this service, we're going to try it. It's like a, maybe we should just change the name. Maybe not. But I had sort of seen this coming out, and as we typically watch the drops, and we'll sort of, whenever we see something we like, we'll send it to the other person. I was planning on checking it out, but then you were like, oh no, I started playing this game, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll check it out then. And so now here we are. So we bypassed the other four things we said we were going to do as usual and instead played this. So,
I will say that's usually always my fault. I tend to go for the game that honestly just simply interests me more than the game I either know I'm going to like or dislike. There's another game that dropped on Game Pass called Rematch. I played a whole lot of that beta, so much so that I played none of it since Eternal Die came out with it. So it just, whatever it grabs me at the time, if it's good enough, then I'll just keep playing until I get tired of it. And I will say, I did hit a wall playing Lost in Random. It starts off quaint enough, you know, like it's your Hades, like it's your roguelike. It's isometric view. You have your, I think the cool thing you have is your die that you keep on your back. It has a name too, so it's his own character kind of, and you get to throw them around. And anytime you throw them around, like, the higher the number, the more damage it is. And you have your skill and ability upgrades to where if you throw certain numbers or a certain range of numbers, then the die has its own abilities that it causes. The same with all of your weapons. It's very cute in that way, very quaint. And I definitely enjoyed it. And I played a ton of it, really hoping that the game would get to a point where I start getting those upgrades, you know, like people who play these types of games a lot, they know, like, you're looking for that group of powers, those sets of upgrades that you get, and you're like, okay, I'm going to win the game this run. Oh, this run is going to be the run. With Hades, it was the for a lot of people, it was a shield combo, you know. So it's like I was waiting for the game to really kind of open up and kind of let loose, and I never really got that feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's simultaneously like a straight like Hades rip, but also not. Like it feels like it in the terms of exactly of like the weapons that you have and the way that you even have a, like, when I think of Hades, I think about the ranged attack and then you have your main attack, and like, you really don't have that many things that you can do with it. But then as you're slowly leveling up, like, you get a charge attack, and then whenever you throw it, you get like a, you know, lightning associated with it. Like, it very much takes those elements, and it's almost too much like Hades, like too derivative in some ways. Whereas like, even like Curse of the Ancient Gods, which is one that we've talked about a lot, like, you were far more like in love with that one than I was, but it was, I could look at it and say, okay, like, this is at least different than Hades. And I look at this and it's like, no, this is trying to be Hades. And that's a bold attempt. And where I feel like I was on board for it for a while was the length of it. It's not that long. Whereas like, in the time it takes to probably like do everything in Lost in Random, you will just now sort of be getting started in Hades, like, in terms of different types of runs and things, the way that it unlocks. And it's, Hades was very good at making you want to keep playing it. And this one, I was ready for it to be over, if that makes sense. And it's because I felt like I saw everything it had to offer in like 5 hours. And that's like, that's an interesting way to do it. And it seems like that almost was intentional, based upon when you look at the how long to beat, like, what was it? Main and extras of 8 hours, a completion is 15. I think 15 is probably a little long, but 8 hours to kind of do everything. You couldn't do everything in Hades in 8 hours if your life depended on it. But it's also built a different way, and it was also in development forever. So I would call this like a Hades clone, essentially, but I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, a purposeful design. And I felt that when I got to the first, well, not the first, when I got to the main boss, I realized, oh, this is a much smaller game. It's a much shorter plot, and it's meant to be beaten pretty quickly. And that's not, again, it's not a bad thing. A lot of times it's a good thing. We talk about that a lot in the show, where games don't overstay their welcome. This game definitely does not do that. The issue I have is, as fun as the gameplay is, I agree with you. You kind of see most of it pretty quickly. And
yeah,
you don't really get those abilities that completely change the game enough to where that shortness makes you want to replay it over and over and over again, like these games are supposed to do. Like, you know, like a lot of these games have, again, they have some sort of ability, some sort of combo where you get it in. I mean, even a game like Monster Train, you get these abilities or these combos where you're kind of you're almost one-shotting things, or you can't be hurt, or something along those lines. Whereas this game doesn't really evolve, it feels like.
It does, but it doesn't. But it's got the Destiny problem to me, or even like the Diablo problem, of its main upgrade path is the numbers go higher. And so whenever you get a treasure chest in every room, like most Hades clones, but like you get this grid that comes up, and I don't remember all of them, but it's like green is luck, red is weapon, yellow I think is die, and I think green, or not, I said green, what would be like purple was like magic, I guess you could say, and magic being, hey, I do poison now, or I have lightning and all that. And that's really where the game sort of, I don't want to say make or breaks, but like that's your main path of changing. And what it is I can't think of any other way other than say, like, it's kind of like tic-tac-toe. like you need to get things in a line, but it's also not like a perfect square. It's kind of strange. So you can do it in like a diagonal line. It has to be at least three, or, you know, up and down at least three, something like that. And so let's say you got three reds, it gives you 50% boost to your attack all of a sudden. 50% is a lot. And so when you get out of the first area and when you go to the second area, if you haven't done that in some capacity, maybe you got bad rolls, or maybe you're still trying to figure it out, like I was, like an idiot. And I was like, all of a sudden I can't do any damage. Like, I'm doing so little damage to these guys that it's almost essential that you have to upgrade something, which makes sense because it's giving it to you. But sometimes you also, if you're trying to go through it quickly, it won't. So there's not a lot of variety, as you said, in like, oh, I got this run that's going to be crazy because I got this combo. It's not really that. It's pick your weapon. Which weapon do you want to go with? There's a sword, there's like the mace, the javelin, and the bow. And those each have their own little small tree. It's about usually one or two abilities and then some type of bonus that you can upgrade. But you never really get like bonuses tied to the weapons. It might be like, oh, now you do electric damage, but you can also do electric damage with the die. So it doesn't have that like, oh man, like I got this crazy combo. Really, it's okay. Like I got a decent game going. Okay, cool. Now I do poison damage. And then when the poison subsides, maybe it stuns them, something like that. It's pretty basic stuff. And really the main thing that's going to get you through this game is, okay, what am I going to focus on in terms of upgrades? In terms of, am I going to focus on my die? Am I going to focus on my weapon? Am I going to focus on my magic, I guess you could say. And that's kind of it. Like that's...
And that was my favorite part of the game, honestly. That's what kept me really kind of exploring different things in the game, was the way you kind of level up and upgrade in game, like during your run, rather. That tic-tac-toe thing, I thought was, again, I think it's neat. I really like the use of your die friend. It creates just another option for range attacks, and even more so than that, it's like you said, your die comes with extra abilities. You can leak poison, you can shoot lightning, you can do a couple other things. But that's kind of where the issue is for me. Is you can do a couple other things,
right? And it's randomized usually. It's like, hey, you roll a two, and it's like, I don't really have any ability to, like, you know, you can't doctor it. You know, like if I just don't get a two for like six times I throw the die, then that abilities is pretty much worthless. And there's no ability with the die that's like a like a, you know, like a trump card. And I was like, oh man, I finally got a two, and all of a sudden I'm a super saiyan. Like, no, it's right. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it, yeah. So that was, yeah.
No, and that's kind of where I was getting, I was approaching that wall, you know, because I was getting the gameplay down, mastering the gameplay, just the core gameplay. But then I was looking towards the game for more creativity, I guess, with the abilities and the way they mash up. But it just seemed all very, for lack of a better word, lost and random. Like, it really lives and dies by its name. Like, the abilities really feel kind of random. And when some of the abilities do kind of, like, there are a few abilities that do kind of work together, but there's not a complete synergy. You have your poison, you have your stun, and then you have your lightning and fire. I think those are your four. And all you're trying to do is figure out which one or two you want to go with. But they don't really talk to each other. You know, it doesn't really feel like you create this cool combo that you can go back to your friends and say, oh, did you do this? No, I did this. It's more or less just kind of
just stacking it.
Yeah.
It's like, how much can you stack? Like, that's,
yeah,
it's about it. And that's cause like there's sometimes you'll pick up an ability that's like, hey, you have poison, and when that poison subsides, it'll do something. But there's never, it's like, hey, if you have fire and electric, then you'll get this bone. There's nothing like that ever. And then there are the cards, which I think we're supposed to, but they give you a little bit of that randomness. It's like one's like a, well, there's two different ways that it works. So there's, you can just press the button and it'll do like an ability, but also there's a perfect card to where it's like a charge. And if you let go at the right time, it basically does like a buffed whatever. But I found those to be pretty much the same thing in that they're not game changers. I don't say they're random because they are random, but there's only like 12 of them. And they're typically like the lightning one is pretty self-explanatory in that it's like a lightning ball. And if you press it once, you get one lightning ball. If you time it right, you get three. And then the flame's sort of like an explosion to where it goes in front of you, almost like a fire breath. And if you get a perfect on that one, it's a larger fire breath. And it kind of goes into the same problem that the weapons have of like, there's just not a lot of there's not a lot of cool stuff there. It's just like, oh, I press the button and oh, they're on fire. Cool. And that's, but what's strange is like, though, like I kept wanting to play it though. Like I don't dislike the game. I just like,
oh,
I just got kind of over it pretty quick, I guess.
No, absolutely. I do not dislike my time with this game at all. And I spent a good amount of time with this game. I do not dislike my time with the game. I don't regret it either. It's just, sometimes you play these short games or these smaller games, and you're like, really, really great. It doesn't overstay its welcome. And I got a one out of it. For this one, it started to feel like, wait, did I already see everything?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Like, because I was honestly maybe 3-4 hours in. I'm like, is that it? Like, right. are these all the upgrades I'm going to get?
Yeah, and I guess you can't, there's not a great way. Like, I guess you could hop into the little like encyclopedia that they have, and you can kind of see like the cards are filled out. And some of the abilities, but yeah, no, it's, I felt that too. Like when I got to the last boss and then like, he kind of rinsed me pretty hard. Cause like the difficulty on him is nuts. And it goes back to the main difficulty spike of this game is if you haven't upgraded a certain ability or whatever, like if you just haven't upgraded your weapons and you're trying to, or your weapon damage, and you're trying to just use that as your main ability. When you get to the fifth area, like everyone's just like super, super health buffed. It takes forever to get stuff done. And he has even more health than people should, honestly. Like it's just, he's got way too much health. And so it became this like chore almost of like getting to him and then just getting rinsed, because the only way I was basically able to beat him was when you go back to, there's two currencies, for one's for weapons and one's for just like general sort of buffs and abilities. And one of them is when you die, you know, come back, you have up to three lives and you get like a quarter of your health back kind of thing. Mm-hmm. By the time I was able to get two lives, I was basically able to take him down, but it took a while to get there because that's one of the more expensive upgrades. And most of the upgrades are not like, they're not damage based. Like there's one that's damage based, which is kind of funny because you almost have to do that one immediately. And it's not small. I think by the end, it's like 25 to 50% or something like that extra damage. and the other one's health. Like, it's kind of your basic stuff, but there's, by the time I got to him and I, when I finally finished it, I was just like, okay, cool. And they sort of want you to go back in and keep playing it. Like, there's this meta narrative that's about sort of escaping this with other people, and you can do these sort of small side quests that aren't really in your face. And if you find certain items and you find something and you go talk to the person back at town, they'll quote leave with you. But there's just not, I didn't find any compelling reason to go back in, because like you said, it's okay, I've kind of seen everything this game has to offer, and by the time I was at the end, I was sort of just like hate playing. I'm like, okay, like I just kind of want to finish this. And I don't, again, it's not, I enjoyed my time with it, but there was something about it where I was just like, eh, like this is fine. Like, I
I agree. It seems we both kind of reached that point in almost around the same time. Like, there is a lot good here, but you see it pretty quickly, and which kind of sucks, because there's so much I do like about the game. Like, it's one of the few games we've played on Game Pass where I stopped skipping the cutscenes and the dialogue because I thought it was a cool little world they made. Like, the world of Random is kind of cool. The characters are kind of cool, and I love how they just kind of lean into the idea of the this being like a world of like a board game, like where die decides your fate. They played up very well, and the voice acting is very fun, and it sounds like everyone's having fun, and just artistically it looks great. I love the gothic art style, and the costumes that the character gets are cool. But gameplay wise, and it's just specifically the gameplay, I'm just kind of like, oh, is this it? Did I do it all? And I reached that point fairly quickly, and it was sort of a disappointment for real. So, I mean,
well, I guess, and it comes back to me of would I recommend this to somebody? And it's an interesting take where it's like, I don't know. And like, and if you ask me that question, it's, I almost have to preface it, but it's, what if this was like somebody's first time playing a roguelite? It's like, okay, like I could see it, what would be cool about it is that even if you're not great at it, you're still going to get through it pretty quickly. And that's sort of every roguelite, to where it's sort of designed to beat you down for a while. And then you quickly sort of start gaining momentum, whether it's upgrades or new weapons or whatever. And this has that, and it comes a lot faster. But then that's kind of it. Like, because it arrives at that conclusion so much quicker, you don't get that buildup that you would get with like a Hades of really feeling like you're making progress. Like, you make progress in this, and then it's sort of like, okay, well, it's not that I did anything wrong. It's that I really want to focus on my next run to be like, I want to take this mace around, and I'm going to focus on getting red tic-tac-toes and focus on that. And that's just not fun, I guess. Like, that doesn't add to the fun factor of it. And that's where it sort of loses me. I'm just like, I don't know if I'd recommend it or not. And that's,
if everything's going to be that random, you need to have cooler things happening when I don't get all reds or all blues or all yellows. Like, they need to work better together, you know, because otherwise, because you make a good point. It's like when you first play Hades, you're thinking like, how am I ever supposed to make it to the end of this game? And then right. When you last play Hades, it's, oh, this is going to be easy. Like, you know, right. Like,
I figured it out. Yeah.
Right. Like, I never got to that point
figured it out really quickly. It was just getting to the end with enough health and honestly patience too. Like, of there are no game changers, you know, like there is no like, oh man, this is the run. It was more just like, okay, like I've done everything right in terms of like, I've boosted my attack and I've focused on that. And here we go. Like that was it. So.
And it's disappointing because, again, like just looking at the game, just playing the game, it
looks cool.
Yeah, and it just room for it, a whole lot of room for just anything can happen, but like it's just basic things happening, and I'm just like, buddy, get off the keyboard. You stupid cat. Anyway, the upgrades just didn't do it for me, and honestly, that's half the battle with a lot of these games. And by the time I completed the first run, I had a genuine feeling of, I kind of wish they leaned even more into the board game aspect of it. I think this game would be super cool if it wasn't, if this gameplay was still there as is, but also like it's more of a game board and more random things happening. Like this game would be killer if it was even more unique in that way. I think this biggest detriment at times is it wants to kind of boot off Hades a little too much or sit next to it a little too much, whereas it should go real far to the left next time.
Well, and it may not even that, but it's like, if you're going to do Hades and like the core, it's the same thing where for the longest time, like there was Diablo clones, right? And none of them quite hit like Diablo. They all tried. Eventually, I think you could argue that Path of Exile did, but like, I remember Sacred was a big one. Sacred came out, and then Sacred 2, and then there was
Dawn. I stand by Torchlight. Torchlight was very amazing.
The first Torchlight was quite good, and it took a long time for, like, same thing with Doom clones. Like, there's a lot of Doom clones, but nothing quite touched that original, and that's kind of what this feels like. It's like, this is good. Like you're forking something, but you're also sort of, you're not missing the magic, but you're sort of missing the magic. I'm still going to say Hades versus Lost in Random, not even close. Like they're not even in the same realm. However, I think they're both good games.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's tough. But then it's like, okay, but like also, do I even recommend this as just like a game? Like, are there other roguelikes I would pick in front of it? And
that's why I'm saying, like, don't be like Hades almost at all. Like, be so far to the left of Hades where it's like you have this cool gameplay here, but then it's like you monster train it, like, you know, like it's its own genre almost. Like this setting, that's what I mean. Like I really genuinely enjoy the setting, the casting and like the world they built. So like why even try to be a Hades clone? Be something entirely different at this point with this gameplay, and I think you have a hit.
Yeah, that's fair. Because like I even think about that one that came out not too long ago about the Dynasty Warriors one. What the heck was that called?
Not Dynasty Warriors 9.
No, but they made that roguelite that was like a spinoff.
Oh, yes.
It's gonna drive me nuts. Dynasty Warriors.
Is it just called Moshu?
Roguelike Dynasty Warriors. Warriors Abyss, that's what it's called.
Yeah, there we go.
So Warriors Abyss came out, and it's like, that's a straight-up clone as well, but it's still a Dynasty Warriors game, like, through and through. Like, it's very much about large crowds. It's very much about crowd control and sort of thing. And like you said, Monster Train's its own thing, too. Like, that's a straight-up rip of Slay the Spire, but it does its own thing. And this, I just don't know... This does its own thing, like, at all. And that's sort of where I'm just kind of like, it's like, this is literally just Hades with like a different coat of paint in some ways. And it's a good coat of paint, but yeah, it's fine. And that's, I think when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, like, and it runs well too. Like I literally played every version, and obviously the PC, you know, is far and above beyond, but even the Series S version runs extremely well. And the Series X version runs well. It's like I was able to max this game out, like running literally at like 8K and 120 frames. Like it looks really clean, and you wouldn't think that it's doesn't take a lot to run. So like it's well made. It's just like, I'm just kind of like, eh, like it's fine. And that's, is that good enough for Game Pass or Pass? I don't know.
I'm going to say absolutely, because the game's good. You know, like I don't need a roguelike to be as good as Hades for me to recommend to people. Like it is a very good game. It's just lacking in its overall package. Like it just like it's going to lead, especially if you haven't played Hades yet for some reason, or you need more of this. It is definitely more of this, and it's a good more of this. It's just not going to be your life changing more of this. And I hope it does well, because I want them to build off of this and again, make something completely unrelated to Hades at this point, because the gameplay is there, the style is there, the artistic creativity is there, the voice acting is there. Like there's so many good aspects here that it's the worst thing that it did. The worst thing that it could possibly do is say, what if we're kind of like Hades? It's like, no. Everything else is good though.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's, my gut feeling is like, yeah, you should check this out. But it's also just been such a strong year that this is one of our softer, yeah, you should check it out kind of thing. Like when it comes to end of the year, when we're going to pick some games, this is not going to win. Like it's not even going to be probably in the top five, which is not that's a very almost bad way to talk about it. But that's just kind of where my brain is at, of just like, would I recommend it? Yes. However, if they're like, well, if I could only play five games on Game Pass this year, would this be one of them? It's like, no, not even a little bit. So it's a very specific kind of thing. But I would be very interested to somebody who maybe, I would say, hasn't played Hades, because I think at least everyone's, I shouldn't say everybody. There's a strong chance you've at least seen it or know what it is and maybe touched a controller. If you haven't, this would be a good first attempt, I guess you could say, at something like that. So that's kind of where it'll be interesting. But I will say this has also pushed me into I keep looking at Raven's Watch, because I keep hearing that's a great roguelite. So it's like I'm again getting that itch now. And has there been any roguelites that have stood out tremendously on Game Pass? And I can't think of one. So it's in that regard too, it's like this is pretty good for that, if you're looking specifically for that.
Oh no, I mean, again, I stand by it. It's a pretty good game. It does not do a ton of things terribly wrong. Not even close.
Yeah, Monster Train 2, I guess, would technically count as a roguelike. So I guess that would be the one. But yeah, there you go. Lost at Random, Eternal Die. Check it out. Play it. Even if you don't have a great time with it, if you're having a good time with it, you're probably almost done. So
that's not incorrect, actually.
Right. So you can finish it. It's same thing with Adam Fall. It's like, yeah, you like it, don't love it. But you're almost done. So why not just keep doing it? So yeah, check it out. When it comes to the future, I was thinking maybe we should check out the original Ravens.
Warcraft Ravens 1? Watch.
No, Lost and Random, I don't think that's going to happen, because there's just a lot of stuff coming out. Altars, I think we both dabbled in a little bit. I don't think we're going to do, let me rephrase that. I don't know if we're going to do an episode on it. I don't know how you feel about it. Dredge, I think we're both going to play that too. So that's really the only thing that's on the table that I've actively played and want to talk about. Where are you at? What are you playing over there?
I've played, what is it called? Where is it?
I don't know.
Did I just make this up? Did this not drop on Game Pass recently? Oh wait, I bet it dropped on Game Pass console only. I played Zone Zenless Zero. Zero Zenless Zenders.
Isn't that just a free to play game?
It is. Zoneless Zone Zero. That's what it's called. Apparently it dropped on Game Pass, and it's a game I picked up on my phone a couple of years ago. And it's part of the HoYo universe, and they have their big three games right now, and I'm playing it because they're cute waifus. No, that's not why I'm playing it. I'm playing it because
the cute waifus. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like I said, they're getting to a point where these free to play games, just the core gameplay, pretty fun. They're getting pretty good when it comes to just making an action hack and slasher. They're really starting to nail it down. And not only that, it's starting to look and run really good too. This is clearly a phone game, but at the same time, it's clearly not, because you can play this. This definitely feels like more of a console game at this point. So I've been playing a lot of that. Then I've also been playing, what was the other one I texted you that I was playing? Oh, I have this. No, I have one more, but I also have Metaphor in the bag.
Like, so yeah, that's so one that, that's one, like, I'm sort of prepping myself. I was going to, with the holiday coming up, I think I might, because that's one where I play long games weird, to where, like, the first couple days, I only play, like, 2 hours.
That's fair.
Then, yeah. And then, like, eventually I just sort of, like, it's like I have to, like, prep myself almost. And then I just dive in and I just don't go anywhere with it. And it's, I almost have to, like, prep myself and sort of get my brain in the mode. And then I just don't look back. Like, that's what I did with Expedition. It's like, played the first, like, 2 to 4 hours over, like, 2 to 3 days. And then I just didn't stop, basically, until it was done. So, yeah, Dredge, whatever it was. And so that, I think that's going to be worth talking about. We can talk about that. But
and as I said up top, I've been playing not a ton of since beta, but not a lot's changed. But I've been playing on and off Rematch. Like, that's still a very, very, very addictive game.
Yeah, I need to hop into that one, and I think it'd be an interesting. That was one that I was gonna hop in right away, but then also I was like, well, they're probably gonna change it, right? Like, probably pretty soon, because it's a Rocket League style. Nope. Like, no, okay.
It does not feel like it at all. Like, it's they change very little things from beta to release. It feels like.
Interesting, because I know a lot of people are complaining about it. I guess that's what I was getting at. Of. Not to get too deep into it, but I was like, well, maybe they're going to change a lot of things, but then it could be like that dodgeball game that we played where they just didn't change it and they just disappeared. So, but what the heck was the name of that game? I don't remember. So, but all right, that's going to do it. So in the future, we're playing some stuff. And then Tony Hawk does come out here in a couple weeks, less than 2 weeks, I think, actually. And then there's also that Wu Chang game, which I think looks very Wo Long style. You know, it's a Souls game in that sort of, that genre, I guess you want to call it, or a setting. I really liked Wo Long. That's one of my favorite Souls-likes. So, like, I'm going to check this out, but I'm not sure how you're feeling about it. But
I'm surprised that's one of your favorite roguelikes. That's like when I say I really like The Surge, too. Because it's a very divisive game, I think. Wu-Chang looks to me more... Yeah, it looks to me like more of a what do you call it, like their answer to Black Myth Wukong. And if it's somehow as good as that, I will be very surprised. Like, it has cute waifu in it, so I mean, already a point. But I mean,
yeah, for me I guess there's something about the setting, but also the thing I really liked about Wo Long was I liked the setup to where you could go fight the boss, or if you did everything in the level, you basically were buffed. And like, that doesn't really happen in Souls-like games, at least the ones that I have played, to where I felt like it was an individualized level and I could, if I was diligent and I did everything, I had a leg up on the boss. I didn't have to do it, but that made it to me, it was like, I'm actually progressing through this level, whereas like a Souls game is just like, oh no, I died, okay, let me go do the same thing over and over again with no changes. It's like, at least if I'm going through here and I'm getting all the little flags, like, at least I feel better about it. I'm making some progress.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, we'll see how that one holds up, because I don't think it's the same developer or anything. It looks very similar, so who knows. But all right, that's gonna do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.